Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, and we are back for another round of information so that you can learn some new ways or new things to help in your weight loss journey. So we are going to be talking about part three on the lock and key to weight loss resistance. So part one, we talked about the very obvious, the less obvious, and the not so obvious causes of why someone would not lose weight after weight loss surgery, or why they would stop losing weight. So in part one, if you haven't listened to that, make sure you go back so you kind of get that foundation. And then part two, we kind of dug a little bit deeper into the different causes and the relation with your gut health and your cofactors with vitamins and minerals that can impact your genes in silencing them or activating them and kind of contributing to your success with weight loss. So now we're going to do part three, and it's going to deal more in detoxification. So this is kind of a fad or hype word, I feel like, that is used a lot because it has been kind of glamorized by, you know, Hollywood and different celebrities, where they utilize kind of this big detox word that, you know, kind of gives you some misinformation and sometimes even just really inaccurate information. So I want to kind of explain to you and connect the dots on how detoxification can play a role in your ability to lose weight. And if you are struggling with some weight loss resistance, you might want to look into why you are not detoxifying well. And that can go into, you know, just the genetic makeup of you. And that really does play a role in how everything kind of plays out. So let's kind of talk about just basics of detoxification. Now, we know that our body does this naturally for us. And this isn't to say that, I guess I'll preface all this with, I am not against detox programs and utilizing detoxification products because sometimes we truly need them. We need something to help when our genetics are not working correctly, or not correctly, but they're not efficient. They are not capable of doing their job without some intercession. Our genes are, you know, what we are given. We don't pick those. But the genetics that I talk about, any of my content that I talk about, these are low penetrance genes, and these are genes that you have the ability to make change. So you can influence these genes that I talk about, and it can change your ability to lose weight and to improve your health. So I'm not talking about the high penetrance genes that you really have nothing to do specifically about, that, you know, nutrition and lifestyle and diet is going to impact. Those high penetrance genes are not going to be impacted by our diet and lifestyle. Low penetrance genes are, and those are the ones I'm talking about. So when it comes to detoxification, it's all about the liver kind of doing its job. But let me show you where it kind of can get hung up based on our genetics and why that matters. So we have, you know, our liver is going to take the toxins that we are exposed to and that our body naturally makes. So endotoxins are something that can be made from the end products of metabolism or bacteria. So those are made in the body. Exotoxins are things that are not made by the body. They come from the outside or our environment. Those are things like drugs, ag chemicals, so those are things that put on our food, food additives, household chemicals, and anything microbial that kind of plays a role in toxins. So our body is presented with these toxins daily, especially the exotoxins, and then most definitely the endotoxins. It's just a natural process. So in phase one of detoxification, guess what? It does require very specific nutrients. So this is where, you know, I talked about in part two, the importance of vitamins and minerals and those cofactors. So that's where we're going to dig into more specifically those cofactors. So if you are missing these, guess what? You are going to impair the detoxification that's going to happen by your liver. So riboflavin or B2, niacin or B3, pyridoxine or B6, folic acid, B12, glutathione, branched chain amino acids, flavonoids, and phospholipids. All of those are required for phase one detox to happen. So then phase one happens, so it takes this drug, this medication that you are taking, and then your body is taking all of these nutrients and breaking it down. And kind of the intermediary stage is actually when it has highly reactive substances. So this is when some of these toxins, so medications, food additives, or even just end products of metabolism, guess what? They sometimes can take those toxins and break them down, and now some of them are actually more toxic. They are highly reactive substances and they are more toxic in their state. So then that's when phase two kind of picks up, and that has some additional required nutrients, amino acids like N-acetylcysteine, glycine, taurine, glutamine, cysteine, and methionine. All of those are going to be required in adequate levels for phase two to occur and happen. And so then what happens is your body then takes it to waste products. And then that's kind of where it dumps into phase three detox, and it's eliminated from your body by different ways. And that's either through bile in your feces or the stool, by the kidneys in your urine, and by the skin from sweat. So, you know, just sweating and exercising is one way that you can help promote detoxification. So, you know, when your doctor and your dietitian and your trainer is trying to get you to sweat and exercise, you know, what you're thinking to lose weight, it is, in essence, helping you detoxify as well. So, you take those highly reactive substances, you take all these amino acids, and phase two detox happens, so then it can be dumped into these waste products into phase three and then going out in those different ways. So what's kind of the ideal scenario when it comes to detoxification? Ideal is phase one is slow, so you would want this process to be slow so that it can effectively do all of its jobs. And phase two is fast, because as it's creating these highly reactive substances, you want phase two to start quickly so these substances are not damaging. They're not doing more damage now because they've been left too long. So an example is GSTM1. So this is a genetic SNP. and it has to do with glutathione. And it's either you have an insertion of it or you have a deletion of it. And if you have a deletion of it, think of it like a bridge. So you are on a road and there is a bridge to get to the school. Guess what? The bridge is out. So that means you have to go around another way to get to the school. So think of the deletion as the bridge is out. And so what happens if this gene is deleted, then you have a decrease in phase two detoxification. So these things are not going to be happening efficiently or correctly without some help. So if you have this deletion, guess what? You may not be detoxifying well, and you need some support with very specific foods, very specific supplements to help support your body, or kind of how I talked about the bridge is out and you have to take a detour and go around to get to the school. That's what you're going to do with food and supplements and diet and lifestyle. There are ways to go around with those very specific things that can help you get to the same end result and help phase two work efficiently when you are missing this. So that's one example of, you know, your body, your genetic makeup impairing this detox pathway. So there are hundreds that could potentially impact it. Now on the genetic test I use, there are not necessarily hundreds in the detox, but there are several that would impact your ability to efficiently detox that could impact that. As we talked about on the previous videos, the lock with the lock and key, the gene is the lock and the key is the cofactors or the vitamins and minerals. And this really kind of shows you the key to locking or unlocking a gene or activating or silencing a gene is making sure you have adequate of these required nutrients, the B6, the B3, B12, glutathione, and any of these amino acids. It's going to play a role in your body working correctly. So I'm going to give you one very common example that's used because this one is so powerful. I live this. Estrogen has always been an issue for me, and this is something that I have to work hard on and making sure that my detox pathways are open and that I am really efficiently getting rid of those the excess estrogen and making sure I'm not contributing to the excess estrogen. But in general, estrogen are produced by fat cells. So if you already have some extra weight, then your fat cells are making more estrogen. So it's making it harder. And then it also, estrogen inhibits the ability to access fat stores. So say you were exercising and you have high estrogen levels, then it's going to make it harder for your body to tap into those fat stores to burn for fuel. So now you're not going to lose those fat stores because of this extra estrogen that you have in your body. So poor estrogen detoxification leads to a decrease in your ability to lose weight. Then also another connector with this is hormones in general can drive inflammation, which will also decrease your ability to lose weight. So estrogen is very powerful. I'll have to do maybe a whole series on estrogen because it is very important. I mean, we all have it, men and women, we all have estrogen. It's just, it has to be balanced and it has to be, you know, in combination with the other sex hormones like progesterone and testosterone, and make sure that they aren't out of whack in what their numbers, and you know, one higher and the other lower. So then that creates this off ratio and lots of symptoms and lots of problems. And of course, you could think about in this one, the estrogen driven cancers. You know, when a good example. When you, the waste products from detoxification, if you aren't pooping well, say you're constipated all the time, guess what? You are reabsorbing those estrogens, and then that's when those estrogens go down those scary pathways that can become cancerous. So those, all this, you know, phase three detox of getting it out is super important too, and part of the process, because that, if you're reabsorbing estrogens, guess what? You're going to be having fat store issues, just inflammation issues, and you're going to be more weight loss resistant because of that. So you got to figure out, so the whole process, you know, with this lock and key to weight loss resistance is really identifying those areas that are maybe not functioning, they're not optimally functioning. Maybe they're functioning fine, but they're not optimal. They need a little oomph, or they need a little support. And that's where some of these things can really help, when you really start focusing on the things that you can control. How to improve your weight loss resistance by focusing higher upstream and not just, you know, willpower and, you know, just, you know, forgetting about, you know, the need to put effort into it. I think it's, you know, you have to look at this, the higher things that are happening, where if we can turn on a gene, or if we can maybe silence one that is impacting, you know, your estrogen that is making it too high, that right there, we're going to improve your ability to lose weight. So in a nutshell, if you are really struggling with weight loss resistance, or you've just stopped losing weight, you've had weight loss surgery and you're just frustrated, start thinking upstream. What am I missing? How can I get more information of what's happening maybe with my detox pathways and what is happening with my estrogen or hormones that is playing a role in me having the ability to lose weight? So I really hope that helps. I hope this is giving you some insight that, you know what, I do have some control. And I will tell you, the genetic testing that I'm going to be doing is going to really identify all of these. It really can focus on your appetite genes, your weight loss, and your weight loss resistance genes, and your ability to lose weight or and burn calories. It's into exercise and, you know, what type of movement you should do. Should it be more endurance? So, you know, you go on long walks, or should you do more power things where you're using some bands or you're using some weights, just your body weight to do exercise. And it's just super powerful and really kind of breaking down you. It is your personal roadmap to identifying how to maximize this whole weight loss surgery process. For some people, they don't struggle after weight loss surgery as long as they stay the course. And I would say my guess would be their genetics are more in line with, they just had a lot of inflammation. Weight loss surgery really got it down. It really enabled their detox pathways to work better, their hormones to work better, all of that. Just, they had to get that inflammation down. Whereas some people, they truly never lose that much weight, or they lose a considerable amount, but they never hit their goal. And that's when you have to start digging deep into these type of things that could be holding you back, and then applying those things. And it's really going to identify the areas that you may not like hearing it. So what if you have those genes that make you a sweet eater. So that doesn't give you an excuse. It gives you, think of it as empowerment that, you know what, I really do have to make some tough choices on this. And I really can't let this get out of hand, or I'm going to end up right back where I was before I had weight loss surgery. So I hope this is helping, and I'm excited to kind of bring to you even more details of how to maximize your results and really help you hit your goals. So enjoy your week. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.